This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
In this podcast series, we've met and talked with people living their lives after brain injury, as well as the people who have supported them. What connects us all together is Brain Injury Otago. So what does Brain Injury Otago do? Hi, I'm Jane, manager at Brain Injury Otago, and today I'm joined by Liaison Officer Cathy Matthews to find out more about the service Brain Injury Otago provides. Hi Cathy, welcome and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you Jane, it's a pleasure to be here.
So first question, who is BIA Otago, Brain Injury Otago?
Brain Injury Otago is a group of really passionate people that are really keen to support people that have had a brain injury through a medical or traumatic event to make life easier, and we often say to make their journey easier, because brain injury is often a lifetime journey. Yep. And so it's about giving them the tools and connecting them with the right places so that they can be on a better road and a faster road to get equilibrium back in their life, a bit of control.
Yeah, great. Is Brain Injury Otago part of a large organisation?
Yes, it is. A Brain Injury Otago, there's 15 regions across New Zealand.
Yeah.
And Brain Injury Otago is one of them. We are one of the probably the stronger regions.
Yeah.
And we are managed, we're totally autonomous here in Otago. We can dictate what supports and services we want to provide here in Otago. Yep. But nationally, there is a national organisation, and that's really an umbrella for all the regions so that they can negotiate maybe national contracts or look at things and advocate maybe on a national scale.
Yeah, excellent. tell me a bit about Brain Injury Otago's connection with Canterbury.
Right. So, unfortunately, a number of years ago, the Canterbury office, around the time of the earthquake, they were based in Community House in Christchurch, and that office was lost. So in that whole process of rebuilding, the liaison service, which is the core of the Brain Injury Association, that liaison service was then managed by Emerge Aotearoa, which is a mental health provider.
Yep.
So it sat there for a number of years. And then along came COVID.
Excellent.
And with the, we come under the health umbrella and the mandates and vaccinations. And so what happened there was a change in staff, and Emerge Aotearoa decided they didn't want to any longer have that contract. Yep. So Otago put up their hand, with my encouragement, I'm sorry to say that, Jane, and to actually help provide and get a service up and running in Christchurch. And so, you know, a big pat on the back to us, because, you know, we've been doing it for 18 months and we have a fantastic liaison officer up there that works independently, but as part of the Otago team.
Yeah. She is great.
Yeah. Her name is Jane as well.
Great name.
And she has a lot of really good experience. We've just got a car for her. And so we're in the process of building that organisation in Christchurch. And so whether it stays, the administration of the contract for Canterbury stays with us long term, who knows? And but the thing is that the people at Canterbury are being served just like the people in Otago.
Yeah, which is fantastic. Mm. Why do people come to Brain Injury Otago?
Often, unfortunately, and very sadly, it's because they're at their wits' end.
Yeah.
Okay, they've had an injury and they've been pushed around the system, the health system, ACC system, and they're not going very far. And, you know, it's not unusual for to have somebody come into the office that says, you know, I thought I was going crazy. And that, and then when they start talking to us and we realise that these symptoms, and we can reassure them with some education that this is actually brain injury. And so that's one of the reasons why they come. They come because we're a last resort, unfortunately.
Yep.
What we would really like to see is to be seen further up the chain, so that they don't get into the mess mentally and socially.
Yeah, yeah. rather than the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. Yeah,
Move us up a little bit.
Yeah. So when should they come? So to see us.
Well, ideally it would be great if there was a clear pathway from people going from home, from the hospital to home. And having been a family member myself, I know exactly how you feel. You feel as if you take your family member home and you go into a big black hole.
Yeah.
And this was 30 plus years ago for myself.
It hasn't changed.
That hole is still there.
Wow.
And so people, you know, we have them come into the office and they say, well, why didn't I get told about you when I was leaving hospital, when I was in the hospital system?
Yeah.
And so we've been working hard with that. We've been doing some really good work with different factions within the health system.
Yep.
And hopefully we can make some changes there. So really the sooner they come, sometimes we look at concussion.
Yeah.
And that's on a mild brain injury. And what happens for them, if they contact us and they've had a concussion and they're not sure what they're supposed to do, we can refer them back to their GP to get referred on to the concussion service.
Yep.
The concussion service can do their job, rehabilitate the person back to work, and that's the end of it.
Yep.
You know, and that's the ideal solution.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
And so people can be left floating around the system, or they've gone through the ACC process and they've still got symptoms for various reasons. And sometimes the system, the ACC system, has let them down.
Yeah.
And we have to look at, you know, because there are some people that, you know, don't make a great recovery from concussion. And often we've found through our experience that often the neck has been involved and it's never been addressed. Or there's visual issues.
Yep.
And I think, you know, Brain Injury Association had a conference last year, and that really highlighted the number of visual issues that can occur.
Mm.
And I know at that same conference we had the headache clinic, and that was to highlight, you know, headaches are very common.
Yep.
And that was to highlight the connection with the neck and how people can access that. So we try and encourage people to reach out to these other bits and pieces that are available and in the hope that it might help them make that final step.
Yeah. So we've talked about how why they should come and when they should come. How can people connect with Brain Injury Otago?
Lots of different ways.
Yep.
Website. Yep. Fantastic website, full of information, and there's fact sheets on there and other information and people's stories. And if you think that, if you read these stories and you think, man, that's an organisation I'd like to maybe learn a little bit more about, if you don't have a brain injury, you can still support us. You know, we're open to donations or bequests or, you know, sponsorship even, you know.
Yep.
Funding's always an issue for us. But, I think, and Facebook, you know, we have a Facebook page, and we also have Instagram.
Instagram page, yes.
And, which I'm a little bit older and so not familiar with that so much. And, you know, like the Facebook, you know, campaign, we've been building on that. And I think like a lot of other organisations, we're recognising that we need to reach people in different ways.
Yep.
And from the website, people can do a self-referral.
Yep.
Or other agencies can actually refer from there. Or you can just pick up the phone and ring us.
Yes. Yep.
Send us an email.
Yep. So I'll just plug our phone number there, 4716156, or liaison.dunedin@brain-injury.org.nz. But you can find all this information on our website as well, braininjuryotago.org.nz, which I will plug again at the end of the podcast as well. And so we're talking about how they can connect, who can connect. I think you've sort of touched on that. So people can self-refer, but anyone can connect with us?
So, you know, anyone can connect. Sometimes the person directly with the injury. Sometimes it's another agency or a hospital or, you know, other organisation. Sometimes it can actually be a family member. And often we can work with the family member because they're supporting a loved one with brain injury. And so it's about providing them the information and support they need in being carers.
Right, great. Yeah. What are the values of Brain Injury Otago?
That's a really interesting one, Jane. And, you know, over the years, I don't think the values have really changed, you know. I always remember, and I say this often to a lot of anyone that will listen, you know, my first week in the job, I heard the saying, am I listening for understanding? Am I listening? What was it? Am I listening for meaning? Am I listening to understand?
Yeah.
And I thought, I must never forget that. And I came back and I printed it out and put it up on my wall. Because the day I stop listening is the day I need to be out of this job.
Yeah.
So listening is a major
value.
key value. Support. And our support is very varied.
Yeah.
And we'll probably discuss that later, so I won't go into that.
Yep.
And education.
Yep.
And for me as a family member, education was the key. It was what made a difference to helping me understand.
Yeah.
And so I feel very strongly that education can make such a difference in people's lives. And we've seen it time and time again.
Yeah.
When people come into the office and they've had no understanding of what's going on, and then you give them a bit of education and they go away and get on with the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Now, that's a really successful outcome.
Yeah.
So those three core values, listen, support, and
educate. Yeah. Great values. How long has Brain Injury Otago been around?
I started 29th of January 2006.
2006. 17 years. Can't do my maths properly. And so that answers that question. So you've been involved in the organisation from the start, 17 years
right
ago?
Right from the start.
Yeah. What are some of the changes that have happened since you've been involved?
Actually, a number. When I first started, I had a laptop, a filing cabinet and a printer and a pile of pamphlets. And that was it, and I was based in my spare bedroom.
Yeah.
And I was the face of Brain Injury Association. So eventually it evolved, and so now we, you know, and then we got an administrator, and then because of the workload, we eventually got another part-time liaison officer. Mm-hmm. Now we have 1.5 liaison officers and you as the manager. And I just see the organisation just growing. We've evolved in our governance.
Yep.
And so understanding what we're about and who we're about and what we're trying to achieve, and also in the tools for actually getting on and doing it.
Yep. Excellent. What are some of the changes you hope to see in the future as this organisation grows?
Well, I think there's a lot of exciting things to happen.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I think we're looking, you know, at succession. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to get the right person to actually connect with our people. I see that as a big step.
Yeah.
And then technology has made us change the way how we work, and definitely since COVID, you know, I've done things that I never thought I would do before. You know, I've provided education sessions online.
Yep.
You know, I've, you know, had Zoom meetings with new clients.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, continually using technology to help me do my job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that's going to still evolve. And I think our networking with our community, I can see, is getting stronger and stronger. We've got a really strong board with a lot of reach across our community. There are areas that we want to develop, and I can see that that's going to happen, and I look forward to being part of that for as long as I can.
Yep, that's excellent. Now, I think looking back, I can see how the advances in technology since just I've been here with our laptops, with our database, meaning we can access all our files from anywhere now, which is a huge advantage, especially travelling around the region, because you do travel through Central Otago, Waitaki down to South Otago, so you theoretically can access everything you need to when you're travelling around. Not obviously not when you're driving, but you know, when you're travelling around.
That's why I don't want my phone connected to my car. And that's exactly right. And so I think for any organisation, we have to continually be reflecting on how we provide our service. And I think that's one of the benefits is that we have always done that.
Yeah.
And we just need to continue doing that.
Yeah.
And remembering what we are here for.
Yes. Definitely. So what does a liaison officer do?
This is
should be what does a liaison officer doesn't do.
And that, well, when I do a talk, I often say I do everything except ovens and windows. And I mean that, you know, and the job can be very varied. Mm-hmm. No day you may come in thinking that your day is going to be this, this and this, and that can change.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it can be really intense. And you're thinking, my gosh, I don't even know what I'm really doing here. But you're managing really tense situations, and bringing in the right sort of people, linking the people into the right sort of supports.
Yep.
And other days, it can be attending groups
yep.
or doing education, and any of those is really the good part of the job.
Yeah.
And that because you're having that interaction with people.
Yeah.
You know, that the groups and seeing how people are enjoying each other's company and facilitating that, enjoying the discussions and the sharing of issues with, you know, that they have in common, but in ways that they work around them.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's just, that's the sort of thing that I really like.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the work can be helping people make sense of ACC, yep. you know, and, you know, getting them the right answers. And because where technology has really helped us, you know, in some ways we have found that technology across the community
is a barrier
yeah. for most of our clients.
Yep.
And in actual fact, people can't necessarily even ring an 0800 number because they don't remember what they're supposed to have done, and then they have to go back and start again and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's the ones that can't use the computer
yeah.
and they're told, oh, you go to my ACC or all these sorts of things. And the banks are another one.
Yeah.
And so everything's gone electronic, but they can't necessarily do it.
Mm.
And so, you know, sometimes it's about helping them manage that, maybe finding out what's available for them to learn how they can do that.
Yep.
Sometimes they don't have those skills to learn, and so it's about understanding that. Often I'm being a voice for the person,
yep.
but we do try and encourage the people, if they're able, and their family members to actually do it, and we just steer the ship.
Yeah. Cool. What's the best part of the job?
As I said, the face-to-face.
Yeah.
You know,
people.
Just, yeah, you know, and many people, when they say, what do you do? And I say, what my job is, and they say, oh, that must be difficult. And it's yeah. a real a conversation stopper.
Yeah,
really.
I found that too.
Oh, is that really? Yeah. Real conversation stopper. But in actual fact, it's an absolute honour to share these people's lives.
Mm.
And you see them getting on with life and,
yeah.
and through, you know, real hardship sometimes. And, you know, to see them strive and make progress, that's the part
yeah.
of the job that's
yeah.
rewarding.
Yeah.
It's not the money in the bank each week that you get. It's that, making
yeah.
a difference in people's
yeah.
lives.
Yeah, mm. and it's such a positive place to be part of too.
And some days you'll do something. And you'll know, I mean, not many of these days, but I can remember some days thinking, I've done a good job today.
Excellent, yeah. I think that's most days, Kathy.
Yeah.
yeah. Do you have any standout moments?
Oh, so many, eh? You know, after 17 years in the job, I would have to say, I've just talked about people moving forward. Brain Injury Association in the past, we haven't because of COVID. We had to cancel the camp twice, but we used to have a camp every 2 years.
Yep.
And we hope to continue that again.
Definitely. Yeah, that's on the agenda for me to.
And I would have to say that would be one of the highlights. Any
yep.
camp, there's always great conversation at groups about the camp. And I think it's because, I mean, it's hard work. Big days, you know, up at 7, you know, bed at midnight and that. But, you know, the feeling amongst everyone that's there. Everyone's there because they want to be there. They're challenging themselves to do things that they didn't think they would necessarily do before.
Yeah.
Since their injury, you know. And so they might be abseiling.
Amazing.
And, you know, they can hardly walk. And this is the sort of stuff, you know, and I think that those are standout moments. And,
yeah.
And, you know, some a lot of fun as well because we have a lot of fun activities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to hopefully getting one organised. So, yeah, watch out. Yes. Watch this space.
COVID, stay away.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the liaison service in a nutshell.
Mm. As I said to you, that the liaison service is really about linking people in.
Yep.
To supports, and it does require at times advocacy.
Yes.
And sometimes we need to advocate quite strongly and or pull them into, you know, link them into the organisations that are there out in the community to help them stand up for themselves.
Yeah.
So I think that's really strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is Brain Injury Otago funded?
Yeah, so I think it's about 15% is through a small contract that we have with the Ministry of Disability. And the rest of it is funded through grants and fundraising.
Yep.
And that's so it's a big job every year. You know, yes. Our budget has grown from when I first started.
I bet, yeah.
And it is a big job. And that, but we've been very lucky to date, but it's always an issue. And, you know, I think that's one area we can work to improve.
Yep.
And Brain Injury Otago is around reaching sponsorship and other bits and pieces in the community.
Yeah. Mm. So if you were listening and wanting to know how to support our organisation, what were some of the ways that people could support us?
Well, through the website, there's a donate button. There's a give a little page.
Yep.
There is, you know, some people might wish to leave a bequest, and that we've had that. You know, that's how we got our library a number of years ago, Doug Billing Library, and or sponsorship. You know, and you know, I think you know we're just starting to get into that area, so I think we can definitely improve in that.
Yeah, definitely. So again. If you are interested, check out our website or give us a ring. We're very happy to hear from you. It's been great to look at the service that Brain Injury Otago provides. I've found from talking with lots of our clients throughout this podcast series how important you have been in the success of the organisation and the support you have given people and the difference it's made to their lives. You are very much appreciated by all our clients for the job you do, Kathy. Thank you. And thank you for talking with me today and thank you for the work you do.
Well, all I can say, Jane, is it's an honour.
Yep.
And thank you for all the clients that have me in their lives.
Yep. Excellent. Thank you.
So one of the things I did want to say, Jane, is if there is anyone out there that's had a brain injury or has a family member with a brain injury and they want to ask a question, not to hesitate to give us a call. You know, we are there. We are keen to help them.
Yes.
And you're not in this journey alone, so please make contact.
Yep. Yep. Excellent. Thanks, Kathy. Just a reminding that if you do want to give us a call, our phone number is 4716156. We can visit our website, braininjuryotago.org.nz, which has all the contact details on it as well.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.